We now continue at the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom, where we now have the third version of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, which is going to be totally different than the first two versions. The first two versions says as an argument, what is the case when it eats from the side of the road? And now we're going to see the argument really is somewhere else, and I believe somebody, I think it was Shelley, I don't remember who brought up that situation, and I said, hold on, we're going to discuss it now. Ika de Amri. There are those who say, if you want, you can say, Ika means there are, de Amri, those who say, Machzeres, when it stretches its neck out, Kuli Alma lo pligi. Nobody's going to argue. Rav and Shmuel are not going to argue. And they're both going to agree, de Chayeves, that you're liable. You got to pay, even for that. And they're going to say, like Rashi would say, for example, that it's not expected, it should turn its head aside. And you pay half, or according to the other rabbis, then you'd pay whole, because that's a place where he doesn't belong. Either way, they both agree you gotta pay for the damages. There's no machlokas there. And then we can learn the Mishnah according to this third opinion, and it's not there's three ways of learning this machlokas. Or the first two are like one big way, but there's the other way, which we haven't refuted. But, the second way is saying very simple that everybody agrees you pay when it sticks its head up. And therefore, there could be no problem. You don't have to come on, even according to Shmuel, to say that the case of the eating from the store has to be returned a corner. Because everybody agrees if you stick your head out, you're chayav. So we don't have to, change the simple meaning of the Mishnah. Everybody agrees to that. But they know there was a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, about something about the side of the road. They knew there was some kind of machlokes. So this is the machlokes. But the machlokes now is, according to this third opinion, has nothing to do with the interpretation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is clear. There's no machlokas. Everybody says it sticks its neck into the city. Even that you pay for. And the same thing with a store. You stick your neck in. You still pay for that. So where's the machlokas? Keep wiggy. When do they argue? B'mekatze moko mirishuso l'rishus harabim. If a person who has his farm is adjacent to the rishus harabim. Now, normally what you do is you put up a big fence, a big wall, that separates the Rishus HaRabim from your private domain. So instead of the guy building a proper wall to demarcate between his property and Rishus HaRabim, the owner just left it. And kind of when you do that, what's going to happen?
Very hard to tell which is which.
And then what's going to happen?
You think they're going to wander
gonna
over?
Start, we're going to appropriate and expand by happenstance. The Rishus HaRabim is sort of like it expanded.
Yeah.
Now it's still his private property.
Right.
There's no, it's his property.
No,
but since he didn't put the property wall over there, so you know, Rishus HaRabim get crowded. And people just move more to the side. People are going to just kind of take over his spot. So that's when there's going to be an argument. That's what he says. That is, instead of building his wall on the property line, the owner of the property abutting the public domain withdrew into his own property and recessed his wall from the public domain, leaving the area between the wall and the property line for the use of the public. Whatever wall he had, he moved it in more for whatever reason. And now, what did he do? But it's his property. It's his property. So he wants to do what he can do with his property. So what does he do? He now puts fruits and stuff in on his land, which technically is his own land, but obviously the animal who's walking, to them it's like, you know, like, is it like the side of the Rishus HaRabim? Or is it just the private domain? What's going on over there? The animal walks through, now gets into this area, he eats the stuff in the normal way of walking now. It doesn't have to turn its head.
That's right.
It doesn't have to turn its head, because, you know, the Rishus HaRabim has expanded. Since Rishus HaRabim expanded, now the animal's eating. So now it's an interesting situation. On the one hand, you'd say, well, the Torah says if you eat another person's field, beer, bistecha, you gotta pay. And this was clearly this guy's field. On the other hand, as far as the animal's concerned, you don't ask the animal what's going on over there. And even people themselves over time, they're gonna say, isn't it funny how Rishus HaRabim, for that little 100 yards, seems to be expanded a little bit? Well, it is. But people are going to feel like it's Rishus HaRabim. Maybe she'll have to pay what you benefited. That would seem to be the two sides of the coin. Well, there's much more explanation more is going to give. We're just giving a simple meaning over here. But that's where there will be a machlokas. If you indeed eat from the side of the Rishus HaRabim, then we understand it's happening either one or two ways. Either you were walking on the side or you were eating directly from that part. That's not the main part you're supposed to be in. You gotta pay. But now you're talking about somebody else's field, but it looks more like the Rishus HaRabim. What's gonna be the law?
Isn't the owner of the property deemed to relinquish that space?
So he didn't relinquish it. He just didn't put a fence there.
You know, it's like a parking lot. Let's say you have a big strip mall and you have the parking lot that comes off of it. So it's private property, but everyone just kind of
uses
goes
it.
In.
Yeah.
But he still
they assume it's available.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. We're going to see. That's a big. We want to assume it's dependent on a big machlokas over here, which we'll see. Now, what other issues might that appear to be like for you? I mean, the truth of the matter is, when you're putting, okay, we'll see. What Gemara is going to explain. Anyway, so this is going to be the machlokas. V'hachi itmar, and this was the machlokas. Omar Rav, Rav says, under this circumstances, he says, our Mishnah says when it, Mishnah says you have to pay from the side of the road, and everybody says both of them agree, even if it just turns its head to the side of the road, you got to pay. Right? That's even everyone agrees that's the Mishnah. So Omar Rav Loshna doesn't matter. Loshan, we only learned, so when our Mishnah said what it said, was only said at Ela Machzeres, when it turns its head and gets to the food. That's our Mishnah. But what the Mishnah didn't discuss, and that's where the argument is going to be, Avol Mekatsa Makam Rishusa Sarabim. But if one sets aside part of his domain to be used as the public domain, Petura, you don't have to pay. Rav says under that, because Rav is the only one saying potter, but instead of saying potter by turning your neck, he's not saying potter by turning your neck, he's saying potter by eating from the private property that has now sort of become the public property. So when the Mishnah says you pay from the side of the road, yeah, even if you turn your head, you pay from the side of the road, but that's it. It's somebody else's private property, that's a budding public property, you don't pay, you're potter. Ushmul Amar, no. Even if the guy has designated part of his private domain for the public domain, you have to pay. So now we want to understand what's the logic behind this. So the Gemara is first going to suggest it depends on another famous argument that is there in the Talmud, in terms of a person making a bore, a pit, in his own public,
private property,
but then allows the public to go into his private property. In other words, if I dig a hole in the middle of Bathurst Street, everybody agrees I'm responsible for creating a damage there. But if, let's say I dig a pit, I'm in my own private property, I've dug a pit. It's my pit, it's my property. But then what did I do? I'm allowing everybody to go into my property. Yeah. What's the status over there? And we see it's a big, big machlokas. So first we got to understand that machlokas, and then we'll apply it to our case once people are going to be eating. Now remember, when he's leaving the fruits and his land, get rid of that, sort of creating a bore.
That's right.
It's creating a potential hazard and a damage. Which is not, okay. So now we're going to discuss this issue. So we're going to think that their opinions revolve around how they analyze this argument by the pit. So let's see what Gemara is going to say. Lema, let's say, Gemara is suggesting right now, Bibor, Bereshusia, Kamiflugi, they're arguing about a pit that was in his property. So let's see what's going on here. Where one makes a pit in his property and then abandons ownership of the property, without abandoning ownership of the pit. That's the specific case. The Gemara has a machlokas later on in this chapter. Where it's a guy has property, he has his own property, he makes his own pit, it's his own business. And then, that's you're allowed to do that on your own property.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, he makes his property hefker. He says, anybody can come into my property if they want.
But he leaves a pit there.
But the pit's there, and I want the pit, because let's say he made a little well out of it. Or it's a store, whatever, it's a deep freeze. He dug a pit for a reason. Nobody just goes in this field and digs a pit for the heck of it. So there's some reason, either it's for storage, or deep freeze,
whatever,
or throw garbage, whatever, but he wants it. That's what he made it for. Oh. So now, the guy, what did he do? So when he did it on his property and everything, he's allowed to do what he wants on his property, but now he kind of makes his field hefker. Anybody who wants can walk into my field. But he still is, now if he made everything hefker, he says, I've abandoned the property and I moved west. And there's a pit there, but it's not mine. I've given up ownership on everything. then there's nothing to discuss. That's a hefker piece of land. You're not the owner anymore. But the guy says, I'm no longer retaining ownership of the property for whatever reasons, but I do want to have ownership of the pit. Hmm. So that is a machlokes. We'll see later on. You could do what you want. The question is, who you're going to have to pay. So Rabbi Akiva rules that the former owner is liable for the damages caused by his pit, because by abandoning the property, he has thereby made it part of the public domain, and has thus, in effect, made a pit in the public domain. Even though he didn't originally do that.
No.
He made a pit in his own domain. Right. But now that he's left it, he's abandoned it. Right? I mean, he's abandoned ownership, right? So now it's effectively become Rishus HaRabim, which you now have a pit that you made Rishus HaRabim. Rishmal Rebbe frees the former from liability, for he can claim, I did not abandon my property in order to become liable for damages. He's saying, I made it after, but I don't want to be chai for that. That's a difficult opinion to understand, which when we will go to the Gemara over there, we're going to get to it.
The Gemara world spent time on an example that is so unrealistic.
It's not unrealistic. People buy houses, can't pay the mortgage. Whether they abandon the property. Yeah. That's people, go to Florida, man, you see that all the time. Man, this guy's got a property, and he built a whole bunch of stuff on the property, and now he can't pay the mortgage. He abandons the property. It's I can't maintain it anymore. I can't deal with it anymore. But I could still use the swimming pool. I'd like to use the swimming pool. That's like a bore, right? And so that's not unusual at all. People have financial stress. They say, I put a lot of stuff in storage in this pit over here. I've got to move on, but I want to keep the stuff in my storage thing, but I've abandoned the property. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion seems to, at simple, make more sense. He was saying, listen, once you've abandoned the property and people, it's effectively become a Rishus HaRabim, too bad. Rabbi Shmuel says, I'm still the owner, just the fact that I can't take care of it, I didn't abandon the property, be high for things. So that will need more explanation, but we're not in that sugya. But anyway, that's the machlokas. Now how will that have relevance to our case over here? So now let's figure, how are we comparing this? We're saying that, okay, you had a field, it was yours, you put fruits in your field, but now you've kind of, you don't have that wall there anymore, you recessed the wall. Now people are walking in to what's your property, but you're effectively not taking care of the property. Correct?
You didn't abandon it.
But if you've recessed it right to a butter, Rishus HaRabim, it means you're letting everybody walk right through your property over there, and you're not dealing it as your property should be, with a wall. Right? You're abandoning that part of the property. Yeah, move 10 feet in, it's still everything you're taking care of. You've taken the wall that was here, you move the wall over here now. Right. Now this is all your property. Yeah, you've effectively abandoned that little part of property. However, you're putting your fruits over there. Putting your fruits over there means that's yours. And you didn't abandon those fruits. And since you didn't abandon those fruits, that's your stuff. So that's exactly that case. So now, although the original machlokas of Kivish Shmuel now depends, so what happens if somebody trips over and falls and gets injured? Right? That was the machlokas of Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, you made the pit, now you gotta pay. Right? Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I still don't have it. I didn't do anything bad, I didn't do anything wrong. So now, according to the machlokas is, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, did you do something wrong or not? That's basically the machlokas. Even though I've abandoned the property, I didn't abandon the pit, are you now on the hook? Are you liable? Rabbi Akiva says, you've done something negligent, you've done something that you're now going to be liable for if somebody gets damaged. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I haven't done anything to make myself liable. So good, if that's the position we're putting the guy in now, now, a cow walks by and starts eating the stuff that's over there. Now let's analyze the owner of the cow's responsibility to the damage. Yeah. See, if you're going to say, like Rabbi Akiva, that the guy wasn't supposed to set it up that way, he was supposed to make it hefker and leave a damage out there, so now if my animal eats something that you created a potential hazard, you think I should have to pay for that?
No, shouldn't be.
No. But if you say the guy hasn't done anything wrong, like Rabbi Shmuel, hasn't done anything wrong, so what are you eating my food for?
Yeah.
So in other words, if you say, Chayev, but for the one who made the pit for damages, the one who'll eat his stuff becomes potter.
Yep.
Is that what reverses?
Yeah.
If you say that the guy who left the pit there is potter, then the guy who's going to eat the stuff is going to become chayiv. Yeah. It reverses like that. Yeah, yeah. So now the Gemara is saying, let's say, if you want to say that's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, if the guy recesses his property, and now the animal eats from that, where one says you're chayiv, one says you're potter, let's say that they are taking sides in the earlier machlokes, of if you abandon the property but not the pit, do you pay or not?
Right.
And that, and we'll say that they're going according to those opinions. Let's say, so now, beyond Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, you have Rav and Shmuel are now taking sides in the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel. In other words, what the Morris will say is, so now we can know that Rav, you know, and Shmuel, who they hold like in terms of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Could we go, let's assume that that's what it is. So that's what Gemara is going to suggest. Now we have to speak it, read it all inside. I spoke it all out, now I gotta read it inside. So, lema babor b'rishuso kamivli. Let's say they're arguing about a pit in your own domain, that you have abandoned your property, as it were, but you haven't abandoned the pit. Let's say they're arguing on that. Rav domar potter. Rav, who says, in our case, when the animal eats from the food that's in the guy's private property, says, you're potter. Why do I say potter? Because in the earlier scenario, kesavar, he will hold bor b'rishus chayiv. If a guy makes a pit in his own property and then abandons it, he says he's chayiv for that. Yeah. Okay, now let's see the notes over here. These fruits represent a pit for people or animals who might walk by and slip on them. Thus, if Rav holds that the former owner of the property is liable for damages that will be caused by the fruits he has spread there, his ruling that the animal's owner does not pay for the fruit is explained.
Yeah.
Why? For the rule is that if one places pits in the public domain illegally, not only is he liable for damages, but anyone who takes possession of those pits, someone could just take it. Right? That's no problem. And certainly not if he damages them. In other words, you've done something wrong. You have now left your field. You're now leaving a pit there. Now the fact you're leaving a pit and you're creating a liability over there, so someone can go in and usurp it. Because you have no right to own such a thing there. Someone can go, frankly, and just take it.
Yeah.
In the name of saving the people from getting hurt. You know, once you've done something wrong, you lose all your rights, man.
Yeah.
You have only one right left, a responsibility to pay if somebody gets damaged. Right? But if you've done something wrong, so somebody, that's the rule anywhere. Forget about the case where he owned the property and then recessed it or whatever. If you just put a pit, you just put a thing of emotions around like that. Finished. And I'm walking by. Well, you know, let's say some of you are driving on the road, right? Driving on the road, and there's a big tire on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Big tire on the road, right? That's going to damage. So you can't leave a tire on the road like that. So you can go take it home, keep it, sell it, do what you want, because the guy's done something wrong. Certainly, if my cow eats the tire or whatever, I wouldn't have to pay for it.
That's right.
So if we're saying that the original person did something negligent that was wrong, then I have no responsibility. If anything, you're out of the game, right? So that is, now one little point, apparently Rashi cannot mean that this case is identical to what's going later on, for if so, the Mishnah would not rule that the animal must pay what has benefited from the fruits of the Mishnah. Okay, it becomes a little complicated, then why do you pay what it benefits?
Yeah.
But we're not going to go there. But anyway, but clearly he's saying that Rav, let's assume, Rav says that when the guy leaves the pit, abandons his field and leaves the pit, he holds that bor b'rishuso is chayiv. That's a negligence. Since it's a negligence, anybody who comes upon it doesn't have to worry about it at all. And therefore, the animal eats it as potter. Let's assume that's what he says. Yeah.
Maybe it's the same, but I still think, can't we make it simpler? But just by saying, if he's chayiv because of the pit,
if somebody would get damaged by it.
But if he's chayiv, that means that we've then ruled that area is now in the public domain.
That area is the public domain.
No, he
already abandoned it.
Right. So we're saying the same. We're just saying that his fruits are in the public domain.
Therefore, right.
It's public domain. Like we're saying that.
But it's his thing. What gives you the right to take it away? Let's say.
I'm saying he's abandoned.
Okay, you know, you're saying the same thing, but just the other side of the coin. It's the same thing. You're just saying different words.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing. You're just saying different words. You know, why are we saying that the guy's allowed to take the stuff? Right? Well, that's what he said. And certainly anyone can take possession of it. Why? Because it's like the public domain. Since you've done something wrong, for all intents and purposes, it's like something in the public domain.
I'm not saying because he's done something wrong. I'm just saying.
Well, why not?
He's abandoned the property, and therefore the pit is in the public domain. So he's abandoned the property, and his fruits are in the public domain.
But he still wants to be the owner of it. I'm the owner of it. It's mine. I didn't abandon the fruits.
He's abandoning the property. The fruits are wrong.
But I didn't abandon the fruits. They're mine. So we have to say, since you've done something wrong, now we're kind of taking it away from you. In other words, you have to remember, if it's totally the public, here's the problem, Shav, it's totally the public domain, so why do you got to pay if someone gets damaged? Not mine. What happens if somebody falls and trips and breaks their neck? You got to pay or not? What's the law? What's the law? Yeah, somebody tripped over your fruit and got killed. What's the law? You got to pay.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to say it's public, it's not mine, why do I have to pay? So we have to give them enough ownership to be chayiv for damages. Right? Your logic falls in the case where someone gets damaged in the pit. Okay, so it's not my pit. What do you want from me? So we can't take it totally away from him because then he's not going to be responsible for it.
So we say that somebody is hurt, but he's not.
So he's the owner only to the extent that he's responsible for it. But we punish him that if somebody wants to steal it away from him, right, he can't. And therefore, if the guy just picks it up and walks off with it, or if he damages it, he doesn't have to pay for it. And if he wants to eat it, he doesn't have to pay for it either. So let's assume that that's what Rav holds. In other words, if you eat when the wall's been recessed, and now we're eating, the animal eats on it, you're putter, because the guy would be culpable if somebody would have been damaged from it. Therefore, the putter if you eat it. Let's assume that's what Rav says. Okay, comes along Shmuel, he's going to say the opposite. Ushmuel Amar Chayiv. Shmuel says, when the animal eats on the side of that recessed property, you're Chayiv. Because he'll hold Kesavar Bor Bereshuso Potter. He's going to say that a boar that was made in his property, but now he's abandoned the property, but the boar is still there, he doesn't have to pay. Explanation, that is, he is within his rights in leaving his fruits there. If you say potter, somebody gets damaged, you don't have to pay. For whatever reason, he's saying he has a right to do that. Therefore, the rule that anyone may take possession of it does not apply. Thus, Shmuel rules that animal's owner must pay damages if his animal eats those fruits. And the one does not pay damages for Rav. Now we got to explain. Oh. But wait a minute. How come you don't pay for shade normally in your Shusar Rav?
That's right.
Let's go back. Wait a minute. What about regular fruits and regular Shusar Rav?
Yeah, you don't pay.
Right? So what's the difference? We all know if an animal eats fruits in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah, you don't pay. Well, isn't fruits in the Rosh Hashanah just like a pit? And we're saying, no, the guy's the right to do that. So, and though one does not pay damage for shame in the public domain, this is not a true public domain. Since this is not the place in which the animals have a right to walk, since the owner, although he allowed the public to use this area, did not allow them to walk on the place that his fruits are spread. So it's not like the middle of Bathurst Street. So it comes out, thus the dispute between Rav and Shmuel seems to be the same dispute between the Tanaim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rav follows Rabbi Akiva, and Shmuel follows Rabbi Shmuel. And that would appear to be the Hesber Machlokas involved over here. It seemed to be the discussion of the Machlokas over here. So that's where we're going to leave it for now. Tomorrow the Gemara is going to say, no, even if they hold the other sides of the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, they could still say the opinions that they say. So we're just going to leave it at this point. Right now, so we have a third version of the Machlokas. They all agree if you eat from the side road, you pay no matter what happens. Question is now, the guy let his property be recessed. Do you have to pay or not? We think it depends on the Machlokas of if you leave a pit, if you abandon your pit, the property, but you keep the pit.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stop over there. It was a half an hour.